Welcome everyone, this is Conexión Circular, your go-to podcast for all the things sustainable living. I am Viridiana and I'm happy to have today a dear guest that is Ayer Vincharada, and she's a pro in strategy and energy, utilities and infrastructure management. So welcome Ayer and congratulations to for your participation in the B16 BCG. We're happy.
Thank you.
To have you here, and it's a pleasure to have this interview with you.
Thank you for having me. Pleasure for me as well.
Well, before to start, the topic for this this chapter is green finance. So we want to demystify what is green finance. So Ayer, let's start with the basics for those who might know in this area. So what exactly is green finance, and how does, in the big picture, in making our region more sustainable?
Yeah, sure. So green finance is basically, in terms of a financing side, it's not different than non-green finance. However, the green comes from the projects that this capital or this finance goes to fund. So green finance, in simple terms, it's a class of financial instruments that can be loans, bonds, equity, crowdfunding, etc., any kind of financial instrument where the funds are destined to finance a climate-friendly or what we call green project, company, NGO, etc. So to give some examples and to make it a bit more concrete, so that could be, for example, bank giving a loan for people who buy electric cars. That could be an investor putting equity in a renewable energy project like wind or solar farms. Or that could be also a cooperative of farmers organizing crowdfunding campaign, for example, to switch to eco-friendly practices.
Okay, so it's more related where the money goes and where it's invested, no? So if it's a project
exactly.
Related with something that is making either a good impact in the environment or society, that is a green finance, no?
Yeah, and usually the destination of the finance is known beforehand. So whoever is putting the money knows that this money is going to fund a sustainability-rated or a climate-friendly project. And that's why it's called green finance.
Thank you so much. So we're going to explore a little more what is this topic. So sustainable finance or green finance is a synonym or is the same? Or can you share a little more like what tools or strategies individuals or business can have to achieve this and participate in more sustainable and in eco-friendly financial landscape?
Yeah, so on the first part of the question, whether green finance is the same as sustainable finance, I wouldn't say that they are synonyms. However, I would see green finance as a subcategory of sustainable finance. Usually, when you say sustainable, it includes larger scope. And usually, when we talk about sustainability, there are two key subcategories there, or two key areas that sustainability covers. So there is the environmental side, and this is where the word green comes in, and there is the social side. So usually, when you say green finance, it covers more kind of the environmentally friendly, climate-related projects. While, for example, there is also kind of a new class of social related finance, and that kind of covers projects which have more of a social impact. So I would see a sustainability or sustainable finance as a more generic term. On the other question on how to have a good environment or how to create a good environment for sustainable finance, in general, I would see it kind of simply on the demand side, on the supply side. So we need to have enough demand for sustainable finance, i.e. These projects which require this kind of funding, that could be the government or the companies or the NGOs who create these projects. Again, since we are talking about sustainable here, it can be project with social impact or project with environmental impact and with climate impact. So that's a demand side. And we also need enough supply. So basically investors willing to invest their money selectively in these projects. So two things, demand and supply. And the other thing that we need is also the intermediary between these two parties. And this role can be played, for example, by banks who organize, for example, green bonds, green loans, or we can say sustainable bonds, sustainable, or these kind of instruments. Can be banks, there can be other entities or platforms as well. So the intermediary between the demand and supply.
That's great. And I'm curious about what is happening in the region, because now is the topic about what is doing in the UAE, the government, what are the boosts of green finance, what is happening, and more in the, you are expertise in energy sector. So what is your point of view in the incentives or initiatives that we should know about it?
So you mean how the government is supporting the sustainable finance sector, right? So actually, the UAE has been one of the pioneers here. They have launched the sustainable finance framework in 2021. And the target or the objective was to position the country as a hub in the region where, I mean, just linking to the previous question, where both demand and supply thrive and where you have enough intermediaries in between to link them. And this sustainable finance framework is basically a strategy which kind of lays down this objective that I mentioned, and also explains what are the levers or what can be done to achieve these objectives. And that can be summarized mainly to three things on what this framework came up with. So first, guidance and regulation. So on the regulation side, for example, that includes a taxonomy to classify sustainable activities. I mean, as we know, we can talk about sustainable and green, but it's not accurate enough, and it's important to have a taxonomy in the country which kind of classifies what is actually sustainable and what is not. So this is the first point that or the first lever that the framework came up with. Second is fostering collaboration between the public and private sector, and I would say also the larger stakeholders in the economy who participate into green finance and sustainable finance related activities. So definitely here you need everybody to collaborate together. And again, going back to that comment that you need intermediaries between demand and supply. And the third lever that this framework came up with is raising awareness and building capabilities. As you know, with everything new, you need first, of course, to raise awareness and make both investors and project holders aware that green finance is a way to fund their project, and for the investors is a way to allocate their funds. And on the other hand, you need people also who have the expertise and the capability to manage this kind of financing. So that was the last mechanism that the framework came up with.
Okay, so you can find it in the side of the government, no?
Sorry?
This framework, you can find it, is accessible for everyone that...
You can just Google it, UAE Sustainable Finance Framework. It's a document, publicly available. Yeah.
Okay. So we have also this this goal, the net zero for 2050. From your perspective, how can the energy engineers and the professionals that are in the area contribute to achieve the energy transition in this region, the MENA region?
Yeah, so maybe beforehand, I would like to say, the energy transition is a key component of achieving net zero, but not the only one. Nevertheless, it's one of the key ones, because you know most of the emissions actually come from the energy sector, and it is actually also the case here in the region, as in other regions of the world. So focusing on the energy transition, and again, it's quite a complex and big challenge, and we can talk about this for hours if you want. But if you want to summarize kind of the key components or the key levers that we need to foster a good energy transition, again, like on a very high level, I would say three things again. First is conducive and stable regulations in the country for the energy sector specifically. Second, and again, back to our topic about finance, a lot of investment. So kind of finance. This is what the sector really needs because yes, it requires a lot of investment, and especially for renewable energy projects. I mean, if we compare them with more conventional energy, usually you require a big investment in the beginning, and then you have relatively lower OPEX because, I mean, the resource is freely available. So yeah, I mean, having the finance to be able to fund that initial investment is very important. So the second point was the availability of finance and the willingness of investors, of course, to put their money in these projects. And the third point, I mean, as you mentioned earlier, capability is very important. So building local capabilities in the countries of the region, and also technological innovation around it. We know that there have been a lot of technological innovation around renewable energy technologies in the last years, which made them more competitive, especially on the solar PV side. And we need more of that. And of course, in the context of the MENA region, we need innovation or technological innovation, which is specific to the region, because you'll always have things which are different in the region than compared to other places in the world. And it's ideal if that innovation comes from within. But as a disclaimer, I would say, I mean, that the three points that I mentioned are a bit generic, and we need to keep in mind that the MENA region is also a wide region, and each country which will have its own challenges and opportunities, and we need to look at each country's context differently.
That's correct, because we cannot have the same solution for different country. No, it has to be customized and know the client, know the position, the area, everything.
So exactly.
One thing that is very interesting of you, that you participate in Women in Green Energy. So. Yeah. And with your experience and this in renewable energy and green hydrogen, so how do you see the integration of these technologies shaping the energy in the UAE?
Yeah, I mean, green hydrogen is, I would say, kind of the rising star of the sector in the last years. It's not very as recent anymore, but it has been kind of this promising sector. And I personally believe that it has a huge potential in the region and in the UAE specifically. And I mean, also in the wider Middle East and MENA region, if you want, because mainly the region is blessed with great solar resources. A lot of sun, a lot of sunny hours during the day. So that creates an opportunity for green hydrogen. And to explain what green hydrogen means, so it's basically hydrogen which is produced by green electricity. And when we say green electricity, we mean electricity from renewable power. And as I said, solar here has a great competitive advantage in the region, and that can create a competitive advantage for hydrogen production in the region, because if you have longer hours of producing green electricity, you can achieve lower costs of hydrogen, especially compared to other, I would say, like more developed regions like in Europe or Japan or so, where actually the demand is. So there is definitely a competitive advantage here. We are still in the beginning of kind of setting up this industry. It's still not mature. And similar to any new technology, to any new industry, you have a lot of challenges in the beginning. The value chain is not there. Kind of offtake side is not there. So all of these things take time, and especially this is again a capital intensive industry. And going back to the finance point, you will have investors who are maybe a bit reluctant because it's new to put their funds. So there are a number of challenges to tackle, especially with regards to kind of the nascency of the technology and also of the value chain. And we need to kind of encourage investors to kind of invest in this more. And especially here, I mean the banks and the lenders. So when these, and we are developing, we are going in the right direction, to be honest. It's just a matter of time. But yeah, probably, hopefully in the next 2-3 years, we will reach a higher level of maturity and we'll be there on where we want to be with regards to green hydrogen.
Yes, because it's important that the bank owners or the investors understand what is the project, what is green, so they can easy to invest, because sometimes it's like, if I don't know how I'm going to take this risk. So we have to, well, exactly. I have seen people of the bank that are going to the sustainability events to know, like, okay, I want to understand more because I need to know where is the money goes or where I want to invest, or yep, if it's profitable or not. And that is interesting how it's changing the ecosystem in the UAE, you know, that they are more interested, not just the sustainability.
Exactly.
They are more integrating all the different professionals, and that is something great, no?
Exactly. So, and I mean, since we talked about the banks, usually the banks are the least or they have the lowest risk appetite. So, and that's why it takes time for them to kind of get acquainted to this new class of projects. I mean, I don't know, to be honest, but probably there are very few lenders which or banks which invested in green hydrogen projects in the world, if at all, not sure. So yeah, they need the time to get comfortable with this new technology.
Yes, the good thing is like you have these opportunities to go to these summits for green finance and DFIC that are encouraging people to understand more, people like you participating and other three banks that I know, the sustainability guys that are speaking a lot of green finance, so that is good, the awareness.
Yeah.
And about the green projects, so we don't know about how to evaluate, you know, the investment. So what advice would you give to those looking to jump in these green projects and sustainable investments in your region? You have mentioned the awareness, but what else?
And you mean in energy projects specifically, energy projects, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, for energy projects, to start with, I think it helps to understand the technology. I mean, you don't have to be an engineer. I am personally an engineer, but you don't have to be an engineer to understand, like, you don't have to understand, like, the details of the details. But it helps to have an idea about the different kind of types of technology and how it operates and what are the key parameters. So kind of the quality of resources, the difference in cost and so on. So as a start, I think that's kind of important to understand the different types of technology, and not only on the power production side, so like this solar PV and the wind, for example, but also it helps to have a bit of understanding of the electrical side as well, so that all of these projects need a grid connection and there are certain components which needs to be there, because all of these components actually are cost items which need to be taken into consideration when you build your overall, let's say, business case for the renewable energy project. So that is kind of the asset side, the technology side. On the other hand, we mentioned earlier that regulation or conducive energy regulation in the country is important. So especially here in the Middle East, it's important to understand how these projects are structured. So usually in this region of the world, you will have, for example, an independent power producer, which is someone from the private sector owning the plant. However, the electricity is sold to a government entity. And usually you have a long-term contract with this, what we call off-taker, this government entity which buys the power. And you have a long-term contract with this entity, which we call the PPA, the Power Purchase Agreement. And these contracts are for 25, 30 years generally. So it's important to understand, like, who owns what and who pays what and what kind of contractual frameworks are in place. And the third thing is also the funding side. So as we said, renewable energy projects compared to conventional energy require high initial investment in the beginning. So it's important that the project owner has the financial capacity to cover that. Usually for these kind of projects, you don't fund it totally from equity. There is a split between equity and debt, and that's why we have been talking about banks earlier. It's similar to infrastructure projects, right? You will need a certain amount to be covered by debt given the high initial investment. And since we mentioned this long-term power purchase agreement, that's actually what the kind of collateral that the banks put give you the debt based on, because there is an agreement that the cash flow will keep coming at least for 25, 30 years. So that's why banks are willing to give even higher percentages of debt to fund the project. So I would say, in summary, three things: understand the technology, understand the regulatory framework and how the projects are structured, and also have an understanding of the financial landscape and how to fund the project. So we talked about banks lending, but it also can be a green instrument, like either green loan, also again, lending from a bank, but also could be a green bond. And that's something that we have seen in the UAE as well, i.e. renewable projects raising green bonds.
That's great that it's easy to your steps to follow up. And for the future trends, just to close the, what do you see? What are the trends in the green finance and what we have to look in the future?
In green finance specifically, we have seen that the activity has been increasing in the last years, and hopefully that will continue increasing as well, and kind of seeing different kinds of instruments of green finance in play there. So I mentioned, for example, green bonds for renewable energy projects. Hopefully we'll see more of that and also more diversity with that regard. On the other hand, what we see with regards to, let's say, sustainable finance in general, also new instruments coming into play. So I mentioned social finance earlier. I mean, this is kind of a very nascent category. There hasn't been a lot of issuances under that, but it seems to be an instrument which is on the rise, i.e. a financial instrument which is targeted at projects with social impact. And social impact can be or can cover a lot of areas, actually. That is one thing. So especially when it comes to the bond category, I mean, green bonds has been quite common, and usually the way you structure a green bond is that you say, as a company, for example, I'm gonna use the proceeds or the money coming from this bond in this kind of projects. I mean, I don't know, like in the renewable energy projects, for example. However, there is a new, it's not really new, it has been there for a while, but also it's on the rise, what we call the sustainability linked bond. So companies raising a sustainability linked bond and linking it to their sustainability targets. So it's not just only about the projects that they will put the funds in, but it's more kind of commits them even more to reach their sustainability targets. So that's also an interesting area to look after. And what it signals here is that companies are taking their sustainability objectives and their sustainability targets seriously, and even linking the cost of their funding to that. So that's an area to watch for.
Okay, and just to close this amazing interview, because we can talk about this a long hours. But yeah, for example, what will be your advice for people that want to work in green finance? What kind of certification we have to do, or what the expertise we need to achieve? So, one want to be expert in that area, what will be your recommendation?
And I think a lot can be learned also kind of learning by doing, in a sense. I think in general, I wouldn't start with a certification. I would rather start with trying to work in the area. And then the certification, I think, goes in parallel and helps to understand, let's say, the theory and some of the conceptual things behind what you're doing. So usually my approach is kind of do both hand in hand. So if you have the opportunity to work on such a project, do that. Don't wait for the certification, and then you can do the certification in parallel. If not, of course, you can start with the certification. Maybe that opens a door for you.
That's great. Thank you so much for your time. And well, it was a very good interview with a lot of insights, and I recommend to everyone that wants to know more about Green Finance, you can follow up your profile that we're going to share in LinkedIn. And well, we just close this interview, and you know that you can follow us in LinkedIn as Conexión Circular, or in Spotify, you also find this amazing interview. So thank you so much, Ayer, for your time. And that's all for today.
Thank you, Virginia.